Good to be back with you this morning. We had an excellent meeting with Art Adams last week, and I gained a lot from the lessons. It was good to get to know him. I had not met him before, but he's one of the men that we support, and I think after meeting him, it just helps us to know the type of man and the type of work that he's doing, and certainly we wholeheartedly support him in what he's doing. He's in an excellent secular job to do good, and you obviously uses that to the advantage of being able to teach others. And I'm very impressed with the things that we heard and the things that he thought were very helpful to me personally. I know they were to you as well. The subject of honor your father and mother is a subject that I've been thinking about just in the past week. We do have an obligation to honor our parents. And I want all the young people that are here, my kids and otherwise, to listen to this lesson today, as well as those that are parents, and everybody, of course, as you can help support and teach your parents and their children to be obedient to God in these manners. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we see that Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." This is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? Well, the promise is found in it. And Paul quotes it from Deuteronomy chapter 5. "Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." It's a very important promise that we have been told that we need to keep so that we can be pleasing to God. This is one of the Ten Commandments of the old law that's brought into the new law. It's not the only, commandment from the old law that's brought in to the new law, but it is a very important one and one that's echoed many different times. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." That's echoed in Deuteronomy. 1 Samuel chapter 9 is an example of giving a person honor. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, "He said to him, 'Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he surely says come to pass. Let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go.'" So clearly in the Bible we see that there are those that should be receiving honor. And we need to make sure that we give honor to those that God tells us to. And when we talk about honoring our parents, what does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean to give your parents respect? Well, honoring your parents means to obey them. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Honoring your parents means to be obedient. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says the same thing. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." This is not something that's always easy to do. It's not something that children always want to do. I can remember many times when I did not particularly want to be obedient to my parents. But they told me that I needed to in no uncertain terms. And that my attitude was not always what it should be toward them, and my attitude was not always what it should be toward God. God tells us that our attitude toward our parents should be one of obedience and one of honor. Honoring our parents means listening to them, listening to their teachings, and applying them to our lives. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, as David read this morning, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. We are to hear the instruction of our parents. Believe it or not, parents used to be children, and they have some experience. They've been through some things. I know that's something that's hard to believe and hard for us to look at our parents and realize that they've gone through some of the things that we are going through. Some of the times that I got into the worst trouble was when I told my parents they didn't understand what it was like, you know, to not have any money, or they didn't understand what it was like to be going through these things, and they let me know that was not true, that they had gone through some things. I told you before, when I was in college, complaining about not having money, and they wouldn't send me any because I was not using what I had in a good way, and they knew it, not controlling my spending. So they said, well, we're not going to send you anymore. We already sent you some. You don't know what it's like not to have any money. And my mom said, do you think we ate hot dogs and beans all the time because that's what I like to eat? No. Listening to your parents, honoring them, not talking back, listening to them because they have some experience. You can learn some things from them. You apply those things to your life. The wise writer says you need to hear your father. You need to listen to your mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother. A child also is to be grateful. To be grateful for what parents have done. It means that we need to listen to discipline. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. When somebody tells us that we have failed in a certain area, that we have not done what we need to do, and they're trying to describe what it is that we ought to do, what should our attitude be toward that? Perhaps if you're on the job, you adults, if there's something that you did not perform right and your boss or somebody, your co-worker tries to tell you, you know, next time that you do this, here's the way that it ought to be done, or let me explain an easier way for you to do this, a more accurate way, and you just, you know, fold your arms and I'm not going to listen to that. How dare they tell me? How dare they give me instruction? The instruction is there for your benefit. The instruction that parents give to their children is for their benefit. A fool despises his father's instruction. And there are many times that as young people that we are foolish. And there are many times as a young person that I despise my father's instruction. But I shouldn't have, because he knew what he was talking about, but I didn't want to receive it. A child needs to listen when they are being disciplined and pay attention. A child is to be grateful. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 says, there's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. You know, what a horrible thing to know that there are those that treat their parents in such a way. That's not showing gratefulness. When we were living in Dothan, my dad was visiting someone at the hospital. He looked in the roster at the hospital and saw, well, there's somebody here that's a member of the church. And he went to visit them. And when he talked to her, he found out that she had a granddaughter that attended with us. And when's the last time you saw your granddaughter? 5 years ago. Living in the same city. Didn't honor her, didn't respect her, didn't have the type of attitude that they ought to toward that member of the family. Not grateful for what that generation had done for their family. A child is to be grateful for what parents have done for him and realize that parents sacrifice to give good things to their children. To feed them, to clothe them, to take them places, to do all kinds of things for them that the parents probably rather do something else. But they want to aid their children in training them and doing things for them, and the child should be grateful for those things that are done. Honoring your parents means that you do not mock them or treat them scornfully. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. I thought about typing this one out and putting it on the refrigerator. It's kind of graphic, isn't it? The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. What's that saying? Well, it's telling us that it is a severe thing to have that type of attitude toward parents. That your parents try to help you, try to tell you something, and you roll your eyes. Suppose your boss at work is trying to tell you something, and you turn your back and walk away from them while they're talking. What does that show? Suppose Rex's kids come home from school and they say, "Hey, old man. Hey, Pops. I wonder how that would go over." Have you ever seen when, and maybe this is something that's dying in our society today, an elderly person comes into the room, somebody that you respect, you see that people would get up and rise. Or a woman walks into the room and the men get up as a sign of respect. But then you think about somebody coming into a room and there's just people sitting around. They don't pay any attention to who's coming in. What does that say about that person? Because they don't care anything, but they don't respect that person. They don't honor that person. They're not even paying any attention. It makes them look like they're rebellious and they don't care. Parents deserve honor. Our elderly people deserve honor. Honoring your parents means you don't mock them, even with a look. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, "Every one of you shall revere his father and mother, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, "Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in deep darkness." And this doesn't just mean cursing them with curse words, but your general demeanor toward them, your general lack of respect. A child shouldn't have that type of attitude toward parents. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, "He who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death." Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, "He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Now, there were severe penalties under the old law for those that were disrespectful to their parents. Now, it's a good thing that wasn't in effect when I was a child, or I'd be dead. Curses father or mother, treating them disrespectfully, those that strike their father and mother, that was not looked upon in a good way by God. And God set up laws to take care of that kind of attitude problem. Honoring your parents means that you help take care of their needs when they are older. Penny took care of her mother for years. My grandmother took care of her mother for years. I can't even remember a time when my great-grandmother was not living in the house of my grandparents. Now, that's not to say that was the only way that they could have taken care of her needs. There may have been other ways that could have been accomplished, but they chose to have her live with them so that they could look after her. But the fact is that we as children have an obligation to take care of our parents. 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about the obligation of the church to take care of those who are widows. Who has the first obligation to take care of those? Their family. Honor widows who are really widows. In other words, 1 Timothy chapter 5, that means that the church takes care of those who doesn't have a family to take care of that obligation. Paul tells Timothy in verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. That is simply telling us that we have an obligation to take care of our household, not just those that are living in our house. I think Art alluded to that in one of his lessons, but taking care of those who are your blood relatives. Honor your parents. Listen to them. Heed their instruction. Don't talk back to them. Take care of their needs when they're older. But what about my parents? What if my parents are not deserving of honor? What if my parents don't deserve my respect? Well, when Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, he doesn't qualify it. He qualifies it by saying in the Lord, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But there's other qualifications that aren't there. Only honor them if I perceive them as deserving honor. I'm going to honor my parents if I think that they deserve honor. I'm going to honor them only if they reciprocate, only if they pay me back. I'm going to honor them because of what I can get out of it. When I respect my parents, they give me things. When I respect my parents and don't talk back, they let me go places. When I respect and honor them, they don't punish me. That's not what Paul said. Paul didn't say, honor them because you're not going to like it if you don't. Honor them only if they reciprocate. Honor them only if it is pleasing for you to do so. I'll do it if I want to do it. I'll do it if I don't want to do it. If it pleases me, I'm going to do it. Honor only if you receive compliments for doing so. Honor only if it feels right. Honor only if other people do it too. If my friends treat their parents that way, that's the way I'm going to treat them. These qualifications here came from one of Dr. Laura's books on the subject. And she made the point that this command is not qualified. Do my parents deserve honor? That's not the question. Let's look at an example of someone who gave honor to someone that you may not have thought deserved honor. Found in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 and 11. And you remember how David had killed Goliath. And the people kind of liked that and gave David a lot of recognition for that. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. David ended up marrying Saul's daughter, Michal. So Saul is now David's father-in-law. David, here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, is running from Saul. Saul is trying to kill him. But David still treats Saul with respect and honor, even though Saul is out to get him. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. Look, this day your eyes have seen the Lord delivered you today in my hand, into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, you see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. There were others that were encouraging. They would go ahead and kill him. They said, you're my father. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. David treated Saul with respect. I think this is a good example for us when we talk about the honor that we should give our parents. Sometimes children may not think that their parents deserve respect, But you know what God said to do? He said God said to honor them anyway. There is a qualifier, though. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So our respect for our parent does not exceed respect for God. We obey God first. If you see the bulletin today, you'll see that there's a question and answer in the inside of the bulletin. I'll read for you just a little bit of that. The question went to Jeffrey Hamilton, who preaches in the Northeast, or Northwest rather. And the question was, let's say that there's a young adult male of the Amish religion. His ancestors have all been Amish. He's 18 years old, and he's been reading the Bible and praying a lot and feels he's not supposed to be a member of the Amish any longer. He still lives with his parents, who tell him they want him to remain Amish. How is he to honor his father and mother in that case? And what age is it when a young person coming into adulthood should make decisions for themselves? Interesting question. We've had a question like that here recently, and someone is struggling with the same type of issue. That's why I put it in the bulletin. And Mr. Hamilton's answer is this. Your question is not too far off from the situation early Christians faced. And he quotes the same passage that we just read. There were Christians that had to face deciding between Christ and their parents. And it would have been hard for them to turn their back on a millennium of traditions to follow what they knew had to be right. Choosing to be a Christian might mean losing your family ties and even your inheritance. And God understood this difficulty. Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this lifetime, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." Mark chapter 10. So Jesus is dealing with a very real situation where those that chose to follow Christ would have to turn their back on their families who didn't approve of what they were doing and might even lose some family relationships and even monetary things. In his article, he says, "Honoring your parents means to give them respect. They brought you up. They taught you much about life. Honor them for the good they have done you. But parents are human beings. They make mistakes. It is not an honor to blindly follow their mistakes." Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The phrase "in the Lord" is important. The child must be obedient to his parents in as much as what his parents ask of him is in accordance to what the Lord says. So if your parents ask you to do something that's not according to God's will, if I received a phone call and I didn't want to answer it, and I told Ethan, "I want you to tell them that I'm not home," what should Ethan do? Should he honor his father by going ahead and lying? No, he shouldn't. He should obey God. God told Ethan not to lie. And that trumps dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He says in his article, "The question really boils down to the sincerity of your faith. If your parents' faith is not according to what the Bible teaches, then your first obligation is to obey the Heavenly Father. But make sure that is because you know this is what the Almighty wants of you and not because you want to strike back at your parents. As Christ warned, following Him will cause rifts in some families. Your parents' choice was not blind or arbitrary. They may not be right, but let's give them credit for doing the best with what they know. Most parents will take a child's change in religion as a personal blow against their own choices. It will be hard to deal with the emotions that arise as a result. Skipping ahead, he says, you ask at what age you should be able to make your own decision. The answer is when you are mature enough to decide and are willing to live with the consequences. If you are willing to deny what you know to be right just to please someone else, then you haven't grown up, even if you're 42. But if you can say, Mom and Dad, I love you, I appreciate all that you've done for me, but I've been studying the Bible and I've decided to be a plain, simple Christian as they were in the beginning, and I'd like to talk to you about why, if you will let me, and then be willing to live with the results, even if it means being shunned and facing living life on your own, then you are acting as a man. Does that mean you stop honoring your parents? Absolutely not. Your parents still deserve love and respect, even if it's not properly returned. Always speak to them respectfully. That was good advice. When you are ready to make a decision and you're willing to live with the consequences, then you can make that choice. Respect for a parent must not exceed our respect for God. What about parents? Inferred in what we've been reading this morning are some instructions for parents. A parent's instruction should be according to God's will. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. Teach your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Parents' instructions need to be according to God's will. And that respect that our children should have will be more easy for them to give if we are acting according to God's will and teaching according to God's will. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 tells us, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I jokingly tell my dad this was his favorite verse in the Bible, because he followed this. What does this mean? Parents have an obligation to teach. They have an obligation to be an example. They have an obligation to teach according to God's will. And they also have an obligation to expect respect and honor. Respect should be something that parents demand from their children. And this tells us how to work with that and how to work toward that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In case you can't read between the lines there, kids, that means you get spankings. You get spanked not because parents enjoy giving spankings. Believe me, parents would rather not give spankings. I heard parents say one time to a child, this hurts me more than it hurts you, and the child says, well, but not in the same place. But it does hurt. It does hurt a parent to have to scold and punish and spank a child. But the wise writer says, foolishness is going to stay. That child is going to stay foolish. It's going to stay rebellious if the rod of correction is not applied. They call it the Board of Education at school when they used to spank in school. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son. But you know, some parents will say, well, I love my children too much to spank them. It's not true. Proverbs says, God tells us the one that doesn't spank their child doesn't love. Because they're not doing what they need to do to raise them properly. He who loves him disciplines him properly. And that doesn't always mean spanking. It means discipline. It's trying to do something that will change bad behavior to good behavior. To change direction. It may be spankings for one. It may be taking away TV, which was always the killer for me. I'd much rather have the spanking and get it over with than have TV privileges taken away. And my parents knew it too. They would use discipline that worked or try to. Parents need to give their children instruction. Respect should be something that's expected by parents. You know why? That's where children learn their respect for God. Children that don't respect their mother and father have a hard time respecting any type of authority. Whether it's their teachers at school, you know, those of you that are in the educational system, those that talk back to the teachers and don't honor them, don't respect them, you can be sure that that's the way that they are at home too. That they're not receiving any kind of punishment or discipline for talking that way. That's why they talk to you that way. Respect for authority of the law, respect for authority of God and His Word, it's something that begins with parents. And we need to realize that. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. It certainly sounds like a lot of people are living that way today. Another interesting thing is found in Titus chapter 2, as we bring this lesson to a close. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, tells us that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and love their children. Made me wonder, why doesn't it give any admonition there for the children to love their parents? There's admonition there for the women to love their husbands and to love their children, but no admonition for the children to love their parents. Well, maybe that's something that children sometimes do naturally, or it may be that sometimes children have a real hard time feeling love for their parents sometimes when they're being disciplined. If you're like me, my parents became a lot smarter when I got away from home. That I love them more now than I did when I was living with them. And you know, I think that's one reason why some parents have a hard time with discipline, because they're trying to be their children's friend. They want them to love them, and of course we want our children to love us. But the most important thing that we can do for our children is to instill the respect that they ought to have for God. And hopefully, one day, when they're older, they will look back and they'll say, you know, my parents did these things for a reason. They were trying to bring me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And now as I sit here and spank my own kids, I know that my parents didn't enjoy doing this any more than I'm enjoying doing this right now to my own. It's not easy to be a parent. And it's not always easy to be a child. But God gives us all instructions that we need to live by. Children, obey your parents. And adults, parents, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just as with many of the commandments of God, there's more to it than what appears on the surface. When children are told to obey their parents, it's not just a command to children, it's a command to parents. And as with all commands of God, we may not always realize the benefits of those until later. You know, it's interesting when you look at a lot of the commands and instruction in the Old Testament, such as the Jewish dietary laws. We've talked about this in class before. Some of the things that were done, they wouldn't have understood why that was beneficial to them. And now we understand why God told them to do some of the things that they did. So what if they had rebelled? I don't understand, God, why you're telling us to do that. I'm going to rebel against it. No, you do it because it's God that said it. And hopefully, prayerfully, one day you understand. The commands of God will lead us to eternal life if we'll be obedient to them. Being obedient to our parents teaches us how to be obedient to our Lord. He told us to be buried in baptism. He said that that would save us. Maybe sometimes people don't understand why that's true. But we understand who said it. We understand that He has the authority to say it. And we need to be obedient. You see how important authority is in all facets of our life and being obedient to that authority. If in any way this morning you're subject to the invitation, perhaps you've rebelled against that authority. Perhaps you've held back and said, I'm stubborn, I'm not going to do it. We have to give up pride. We have to give up stubbornness and respect God's authority and be obedient so that we can be together in heaven for eternity. Anyway, you're subject to the invitation. We'd invite you to come while we stand together and say, stand together and say, stand together and say, stand together and say, stand together.